Mr. Humphreys and friends. Practically speaking, and we may say that Buddhism is nothing if not practical, practically speaking, Buddhism, as we call it in the West, or the Dharma, as we should perhaps more correctly call it, consists principally, one might even say essentially, of two things. It consists, in the first place, of a path, a way. And in the second place, it consists of a goal, if you like, an objective. And the path has been, can be, variously described. According to context, it is spoken of as the noble or the holy eightfold path, the path not of eight stages, as sometimes the word is translated, but rather of eight members, eight factors. It's spoken also of as the path of the six, sometimes the ten, paramitas, the perfections, the transcendences, or even transcendental virtues. And again, that path, that way, is spoken of, perhaps even more frequently, as the middle way, the middle path between and above extremes. These are just some of the ways in which we speak about that path. And then the goal. The goal is what we can only describe in tentative words of human speech as Buddhahood, supreme, perfect enlightenment. And enlightenment itself can be thought of, can be envisaged in various ways, in all sorts of ways, as supreme wisdom, as absolute gnosis, insight into things as they really are, also as compassion, infinite compassion, the plenitude of compassion, compassion which pours out in all directions simultaneously onto all sentient beings. It can be spoken of, it can be thought of also in terms of infinite spiritual, even transcendental energy radiating irresistibly in all directions. And also it can be spoken of, thought of in terms of an utter, a complete purity. Not just as we understand purity, not just as purity in respect of evil, but even purity in respect of good. So in these ways, and in so many other ways too, can enlightenment be thought of, can be spoken of. And we can think of it, we can speak of it also as an experience. We can speak of it, think of it as the experience, even the culminating experience, the greatest of all experiences, if you like, as the experience to end all experiences. And it's with this that we're concerned tonight, with enlightenment as experience, and also as non-experience, which perhaps you might be thinking is something rather more mysterious, rather more recondite. Even, and this is of course the sort of word that people love and the sort of thing that they expect, something esoteric. So, what we're going to do in the course of the following hour, and of course I mustn't forget our chairman's well-known love of punctuality, not only in beginning meetings but also in concluding them, what we're going to consider in the course of the ensuing hour is just some of the implications of thinking of enlightenment in this way, thinking of it in terms of experience,